Please be seated. Final case to be heard is number 2014-2012. Ernest and Luann Giddens versus the Tax Commissioner. The appellant, for the appellant, Mr. Bernard.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, I hope to reserve 4 minutes at the end of my time. My name is Ted Bernard. I'm here on behalf of Ernest and Luann Giddens. And the issue in this case is whether the dividend that they received from C Corporation income should be sourced to their state of domicile or sourced to the state of Ohio based on the fact that the one paying the dividend was operating in the state of Ohio. We believe that the court should reverse the Board of Tax Appeals and find that that dividend was properly sourced under Ohio law, was properly sourced to the state of Missouri on the basis that it was a dividend, it was not distributive income, and it properly is sourced to it's non-business income, and it should be sourced to Missouri.
Because that's their domicile.
That is their domicile, yes, Your Honor, and that is not contested. And the facts are not in dispute in this case. The Giddens are non-residents. The dividend was paid from earnings and profits, which means, of course, that it's C Corporation income. And the shareholder, while owning real estate, didn't operate any other business that would have used the income, the revenue from that dividend, for the operation of any business in the state of Ohio. So it is properly sourced based on being a dividend, and that's 5747.20b6, which says the dividends are sourced to the state of domicile as well. Dividends are sourced as non-business income, and in this case, that means that it would be treated as as payable to them for their domicile. The case being brought to you with facts undisputed, you're hearing this case de novo. It's either a strictly legal question or the application of the facts to the law. I think it's principally a legal question, so you have no deference owed to either the Tax Commissioner or the Board of Tax Appeals. Vital to this issue is the nature of the income. So the S Corporation is a corporation that is subject to subchapter C of the Internal Revenue Code with certain exceptions. And in this case, what we've got is income that was accumulated before they converted from a C corporation to an S corporation. The impact of that is this income is income that is subject to subchapter C. And Redneck, which is the name of the entity, is actually operating under C corporation principles, not S corporation principles. As surely as Microsoft or any other corporation that never made the S election would be operating under C principles.
Let me ask you this. If Redneck had, since time immemorial, been operating under a subchapter S election, would a dividend paid out under these types of circumstances still be non-business income, in your view, that would be allocated to the domicile?
No, and that's the Agley case, and that's the Dupuy case, and a couple of things that we need to sort through there. So in those cases, for example, the principal argument made on behalf of the Tax Commissioner was that they were not dividends and that they were, in fact, distributive share. And that's the crucial point. So the only thing I would say is that I'm not sure we would even call it a dividend, because I looked for an all-purpose definition of dividend. And I started with Section 316 of the Internal Revenue Code that defines dividend as a payment being made out of earnings and profits, which means income subject to C corporations. And I looked at Title 57. I never found a definition of dividends. I even looked at Title 17 of the revised code, which is corporations. And although they talk about the payment of dividends, they never really used that. They never defined it. and Blacks even takes me back to earnings and profits. So I would suggest to you that in the what you had described there is some sort of payment, call it a distribution, from that entity that had never been a C corporation. It would not be a dividend under common parlance. And the fact that this is a dividend means that it's C corporation income. But again, in the cases that were argued in Agley and Dupuy, one of the principal arguments was that it wasn't a dividend distribution. And a sharp contrast was being made to the kind of payment that's being made from the C corporation income. The real essence of what we're talking about here is, are we talking about one level or two levels of taxation? So if you're talking about one level of taxation, the income is earned by Redneck. There is only one level of taxation, and that's on the returns of the shareholders. Of course, you use the business, non-business classification at the entity level to pass it through. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the second level of taxation. And you don't use that same analysis. The principal argument, as I understand it, of the tax commissioner is, well, you pass through those characterizations, but you do that on the first level of taxation. And when that's all there is, that's when you're operating as an S corporation.
Let me ask you this. These earlier cases, Dupuy and Agley, did they just involve the pass-through of the so-called distributive share to the taxpayer's tax return? Did they involve actually the payment of something that was called a dividend, or did they just involve the pass-through of the corporation's income to the shareholders' return?
Well, the argument that was made there is we don't even care about the payments out. We don't care about the distributions. I don't know if there are distributions involved because the tax commissioner correctly said, who cares? It's the difference between cash and accounting. So when you've got an S corporation, what you're doing is you're accounting for that income to the shareholders. And we don't care about the cash payments one way or another. Now, that's not true when you've got C corporation income, because in that case, you do care about it. But what's really important there is the argument is made that Redneck is a pass-through entity. And that's not strictly true, that it is a pass-through entity, but only with respect to the income earned during the period of the election. So in this case, we have income that was earned before the period of election. That income is subject to subchapter C. The Giddens took it subject to subchapter C. And to say that it's a pass-through with respect to that income is wrong. So, yes, the S corporation is a pass-through entity, but for other kinds of income. The kind of income that you're talking about in Agley and Dupuy and that you're not talking about here. And again, if you go back to the arguments made by the tax commissioner in that case, they actually were saying, look, this is not a dividend in a distribution because this is only distributive share. So I don't know whether there were payments involved, but I think they were properly disregarded in terms of what was going on. I submit to you the decision by the Board of Tax Appeals is an outlier. Neither one of us have found any case that even remotely would support the action that was taken by the tax commissioner in this case. And I think that the whole question of business, non-business raises a lot of important implications, but this is one of those cases that's clearly on the outside of that, being a dividend that is being paid to a shareholder after that income has already been taxed. In this case, it would have been taxed when the franchise tax was involved, would have been taxed under the net income measure. And so it isn't appropriate to bring through that business, non-business determination. And without that, it clearly is non-business income to the shareholder who received it. If there are no...
Well, does it matter legally whether it was, in fact, taxed under the franchise tax or...
Not really. It certainly makes it feel more comfortable.
Yeah,
it's illustrative, and it makes it feel more comfortable for everybody. But no, under this scheme... It really is a situation where we should not be using the business non-business distinction of the entity to the shareholder. And the reason we don't do that is because it's a second level of tax and it's governed by its own rules. So, okay. Thank you, Your Honor. I would reserve the rest of my time, please.
Thank you, Mr. Bernard. Mr. Hubbard.
Thank you, Your Honor. My respected colleague makes the point that there are no cases on this specific issue involving what were undistributed accumulated earnings of Redneck that were earned while the time prior to Redneck's election as an S-Corp. And Redneck had not elected S-Corporation status for several years prior to 2003. The tax year at issue is 2008. So for 5 years, they were an S-Corp. And after those 5 years, they elected through their shareholders, who were the Giddens. Actually, there was a grantor trust that was, the Giddens were the sole beneficiaries, his husband and wife. But anyway, the Giddens, through their Redneck Corporation, elected to receive as a dividend distribution the $74 million that was the appreciation in the value of their stock that resulted from all the income that was generated while the entity had, for prior tax years, while it was operated not as an S-Corp, but just as a normal C-Corp. So basically, that appreciation was realized in 2008. That's when the Giddens received it as the shareholders, and that was the taxable event. And we know from this court's well-established case law, beginning from the very inception of the Ohio income tax in the Chope versus Collins and the Dairy cases, that the taxable event is the receipt of the income. So the fact that there were earlier years' activities that generated that income, when it's received by the individual shareholder, here the Giddens, that's the event, that's the year. So we're looking at 2008. And then when we look at 2008, in that year, Redneck had elected S Corporation election. So they were a so-called, quote, pass-through entity within the meaning of the relevant statutes. And it was interesting, my colleague here didn't once mention the relevant statute, which is 5747.231. And in our brief, we, I think, persuasively argued that that provision, its plain meaning, says exactly what the commissioner did in this case. And it's interesting that in the taxpayer's initial brief before this court, they didn't cite 0.231, nor in their reply brief did they quoted the entire statute, 0.231, except they ellipsoided out the pertinent last sentence that totally controls this case. And that last sentence is a codification of the principles that this court articulated first in the DuPay, then Agley, then Tetlack, and then Kemple. I might have got the order wrong with Kemple and Tetlack, but those four cases stand for the proposition that when you have S Corporation situation for the tax year, taxable year, and there's a distribution from the S Corporation. And by the way the distributed share works is because an S Corporation is a pass-through entity, all of its income is deemed to be distributed to the shareholders. And so if they choose to, and then it's deemed to be contributed back. And so if they actually take cash out as part, if the distributed share generates income and they decide to keep it, that just simply
changes their basis.
Yes, exactly. Now, in this case, what the statute says, though, 0.231 says, and it's very interesting because it expressly addresses the very situation here. And that's why there aren't any cases on this, because the plain meaning of the statute is in our position. So no one besides this taxpayer has made the argument that income that basically what the statute says is all items of income, and it includes both the distributive share, and it says or proportionate share. I'm looking at the previous sentence. It says a pass-through entity's direct or indirect distributive share or proportionate share of any other pass-through loss of portionable income or loss, property, and it goes on. But it's all forms of income, whether it's distributed share or not. All those items of income shall be in the same form as was recognized by the pass-through entity. So when we ask what form was it in as recognized by the pass-through entity? Well, who is the pass-through entity? We look to the definition of pass-through entity, which is also in Title 5747. It's in 5747.01K. And what that does is it incorporates the definition of pass-through entity in 5733.04M. And what that says is the pass-through entity is an entity that has elected S-corporation status for the taxable year. And that, so we can substitute in the last sentence of 5747.231, when it says pass-through entity, substitute redneck, because redneck was the pass-through entity for that year. So it reads, those items, that is all items of income, no matter how they're whether they're distributed as part of distributed share or any other way, i.e. as a dividend, those items shall be in the same form as was recognized by redneck. So there we have it. And again, we not only rely on the plain meaning of the statute, which is dispositive. This court in Columbia Gas Transmission, it made the point, even with the tax imposition statute, that the strict construction principle that applies normally in that situation when there's ambiguity against the commissioner doesn't apply if the plain meaning says otherwise. Here, we have a refund. This is part of the non-resident credit calculation. So it's a tax reduction. So you would strictly construe any doubt in the statute against the taxpayer in this instance, against the claim of tax reduction. And we don't have any constitutional challenge here. Now, there's always that limitation that you have restrictions on the ability of states to tax under the U.S. Constitution, but that's not being alleged
here. Let me ask you a question about the statute here.
Yes.
5747.231, the sentence that you're looking at says, those items, which refer to various items of income, shall be in the same form as was recognized by the pass-through entity. Now, my understanding is what we have here is a dividend that was paid by Redneck
for that in that year, 2008,
to the Grantor Trust, but ultimately to the Giddens.
In 2008.
So, in just looking at the form of words here, the dividend as an item of income could be seen as something that is not in any sense recognized by Redneck as a pass.
Well, that's the same is true of anything. The distributive shares the same way. In other words, you can look at it as, well, ultimately it's being passed through, so ultimately it's being recognized by the individual shareholders or, you know, the owners of the S-Corp. But that's true of any S-Corp. In other words, if you were to read that to say, well, it's not really because the S-Corp never recognizes anything as a pass-through, that would render the whole statute meaningless. I mean, that last sentence would not have any application. There'd never be any recognition.
It would apply equally to just the distributed.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't. What they're saying by recognized is that's a term saying it's now subject to some tax consequence. In other words, it can be generated in a prior year, just like in dairy that was an installment sale contract, where that's the income tax case I referred to earlier, where the taxpayer had actually entered into a contract in a year prior to the tax year at issue in dairy, which was one of the first years the tax was actually in place. And so it had done all the activities that generated the income in prior tax years, but they received the income in the current tax year. And the argument was raised by the taxpayer in that case was, well, Ohio can't tax that because the activities that generated that occurred before in prior years. And the court rejected that out of hand, citing an earlier case, Choate versus Collins, but saying, no, it's the receipt by the taxpayer of the income that's the taxable event. And that's what they're referring to there. They're referring to the fact that it was recognized means that there are income tax consequences with respect to it. And that's what happens with an S-corp in the year in which the individual shareholders receive the income. That's the event. So, and what I wanted to point out too is we had testimony of the Board of Tax Appeals from our audit staff, the head of the audit staff, it was in charge of that point with the pass-through entity taxation. That's what we call it. It's the individual income tax, but it's the income tax that's from pass-through entities that flows through to the shareholders. And the testimony was very clear that in every instance where we've had this situation, we've treated the dividend distributions as business income of the recipient shareholders. And that was not controverted. In the briefing, Redneck, in their briefing at the House Supreme Court, in this court, not at the board, they didn't contest that at the board. But they just said, we're lying. Well, that's nice for them to say that they have some omniscient knowledge of what our staff, what we did. But we testified under oath, and we take that seriously. And that is a longstanding, uniform application of the statute. So I take exception myself to that representation. Okay, third, as I said, this is simply codifying the principles that were articulated by this court, that a corporation is a legal fiction. And so the shareholders can't say, oh, I live in another state, but I have all this property, payroll, and sales that are being conducted in Ohio, for which Ohio's giving a lot of benefit, for which they can ask a return. Okay? And they live somewhere else. Ohio has every right to get their fair share of that income. We're getting 3.9% of it. That's all.
Well, I guess what I'm struggling with is to make sure that to be able to read these statutes, to read this, to reach this result.
And I think it's you can't read it any other way. It says pass-through entity. Pass-through entity was Redneck for that year. It's clear and unambiguous. And of course, what he says is this is C corporation income. Where does it say that? I mean, his reading of the statutes, he's not reading the statutes. In fact, as I said, he ellipsoided out the last sentence. I mean, how is that good argument? He's just omitting the what we're arguing. That's the only way he can address it. The fact of the matter is, his concept, this is C corporation income, it hasn't. They were not a C corporation during 2008. They weren't for 2007, 6, 5, 4. They're not a C corporation. They're an S corporation. What he wants to do is read all sorts of stuff into the statute, and then, and not 0.231, I don't know what statute he's reading, but there's no textual basis for what he's arguing. In fact, if you think about it, let's suppose the Giddens were Ohio residents for all the years, and they had a Ohio-based company, all right? And so, but they choose not, and they're a C corporation for all those years, and they choose to keep, not take any dividends. And then let's say, they have their same business from 1950 through 2007, and they haven't taken any dividends out, and they build out this big amount of $74 million of profits that they haven't taken out. And then they move to Missouri. Under his view, Missouri would get it all, and Ohio wouldn't get anything. That's his position, and that's a necessary consequence. If the court were to agree with him, they would also be agreeing with that. And further, and this is the pièce de résistance, if you look at what the General Assembly did at the same time that they enacted 5747.231, they amended 5747.212. And what that says is that if an S corporation shareholder who has at least 20% equity interest, which is what we have here, sells his or her shares in an S corporation, that entire gain is business income. And that's precisely what the Giddens could have done, reached the exact economic situation that they did here. They could have redeemed their shares of stock in the corporation and got in return for that the assets and liabilities of Redneck, then taken those assets and liabilities of Redneck, transferred all of them into a new C corp or S corp with the same name, but taking out except for the $74 million. That would have been the exact same thing, and that gain would have been business income under 5747.212, which is the economic equivalent of this. So talk about absurd consequences. They can avoid that other provision by merely doing it this way, that is, by not redeeming their shares, just taking a dividend distribution. Makes no sense. That would be an absurd, unreasonable consequence, which would...
But doesn't it, according to some of the points you've been making, doesn't it then begin to potentially possibly be relevant that these amounts of income to the corporation might have been taxed under the franchise tax back when...
Well, there's nothing wrong with taxing at two levels. And we all know that. In fact, under point 212, certain C corporations are subject to tax on their as shareholders of C corporations if there are fewer shareholders, or if they hold a 20% in a C corp, then when they sell that C corp, the appreciation, the capital gain is in. The General Assembly has already addressed that. Okay. And we actually, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hubbard. Mr. Bernard, you've reserved 5 minutes and 16 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. So the first question, I'd like to get back to the point that was started being developed about should we be looking at, in the business, non-business, the dividend in the context of who received it? And I think that is important. So if we were talking about a dividend that had been received by Redneck, that dividend would be business or non-business income depending upon its use by the entity. So it is important that rather than this being income passing through, this is an income, this is actually a distribution, a dividend, that's being paid by the entity, and it has its own set of rules. So I think it's really important to focus on the idea of where this dividend is being taxed. And so the idea would be if the dividend were, I guess, above the line, I don't know how you want to describe it, but if it's in the entity, then yes, its classification would come through if that income was within the group being passed through as a distributive share. But it's really much different in this context. As far as 5747-231, it's talking about distributive share. I mean, the whole section is focused on that point, and in the middle of the section, there's a specific reference to with respect to the distributive share. And the reason we haven't focused on it is because it reflects the principles we've been talking about putting together the other portions of the statute. It reflects the same idea. And it was true, and that section was simply, I think, codifying the principles that were true before its enactment. That is, if it's a pass-through of income, yes, the characterizations flow through. But if it's that second level of tax, the characterizations do not flow through. One of the things that I think is wrong is to look at the S corporation the same as a partnership or an LLC. It isn't. It is an entity that truly is a hybrid. And in a section that's not in our briefs, but it's section 1371 of the Internal Revenue Code, in that case, that section has to do with the coordination of subchapter C to the S corporations. And it is appropriate to focus on the S corporation as being a pass-through entity with respect to some income, but an entity subject to subchapter C. So yes, it's defined that is a pass-through entity, a subchapter S corporation is treated as a pass-through entity, but not totally. And it also is subject to subchapter C.
I'd like to, if I could interrupt you just a second, take you through your analysis of how the statutes apply. So the dividend is paid, and now we need to determine whether it's going to be business income or treated as business income or non-business income.
Yes.
And so we would look at the definitions of business income and non-business income.
Yes.
And we would also have to take into account the pass-through provisions. Yes. So, I mean, how does that work under your analysis?
Well, in terms of the Internal Revenue Code, it breaks it into buckets. So, it says that this payment that comes through to the extent, and they're using the AAA account, which is the income that gets passed through, you treat it this way. And then the second tranche is, to the extent there's earnings and profits that are being taken out, you take it out here. And then beyond that, it's a capital gain. But that same concept is implicit in the state statute that we're dealing with. And so what we're talking about here is you've got to get it into its right bucket. And I think the statute contemplates that. And I think that when they're dealing with S corporation and they're dealing with the shareholders of an S corporation, you have to read this, that it's when they're operating as an S corporation. Because then the language does flow about you take through all the characterizations, you know, there isn't any tax at the entity level, and there is a tax at the shareholder level. But if you don't take in what's really happening here, and this is based on the federal law, if you don't take that into account, you get a result that doesn't make any sense, and I don't think the General Assembly intended that.
But just to be clear in my own mind, you're in agreement that your argument depends on the circumstance that the earnings that are the source of this dividend accrued while the entity was a C corp and before the S corp election. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Okay. And so we are not challenging in any way the normal treatment of the pass-through entity. We are not challenging Agley in any respect or Dupi. I mean, those were right because that was pass-through entity. But the tax commissioner is taking a step further where it doesn't belong. We are limiting our argument to where it is a dividend. And that means it's paid from earnings and profits. It's limited to that. And it also means it's limited to the situation when this entity is operating under subchapter C, not subchapter S of the Internal Revenue Code. So it is a limited approach. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Bernard. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned. Thank you.